Every woman watching this video must have felt this at least once in their lifetime. Being in an unknown environment is scary in itself, but being alone in an unknown environment is terrifying. That day started off as a regular day. The sky was cloudy, but when is it not in London? I went to my office, and being the tech head of the company comes with a lot of responsibilities. As I started my workday, I received an email from my superiors. The email asked me to visit a new branch of our company that was having IT issues and to help them solve it ASAP. I knew if I left the office right at that moment, I might be able to drive up to that branch by lunch. I could spend the whole evening fixing the issue and then travel back to London. When I was halfway there, light showers began. But I did not worry about them much, as it was a norm here. I made it to the new office and immediately began working on their problems. The IT head of that branch had quit, so I had to make sure the setup of all the servers was done. While I was working, a colleague kept hitting on me. I politely declined him, but he was persistent, bringing me coffee and whatnot. I did accept the stuff he got me as not to be rude. But when he started asking me about my personal life, I politely shut him off. When the clock hit 5, most of the employees left, leaving me alone with the IT team to fix the issues. Around 9, we all stepped out, and the rain had turned from a light shower to a heavy downpour. There was no way I could drive back to London in that weather. I had not noticed the weather turning so rapidly while I was working. But now, I had no clue where I was going to stay. I could not find any good hotel in the town. All Google showed me were some shady motels, which I knew would be full of drunk truck drivers and homeless people. My last plan was to stay in my car. But just then, Dave, the colleague who was hitting on me, stepped out of the office. He had stayed behind to send a few emails regarding the status of our work.
"Hey, why are you waiting in the lobby?"
he asked me. "Oh, I was just looking up good hotels nearby to spend the night."
"Our town has no hotel. We do have some motels, but I don't think they would fit your taste."
The rest of the employees had already left, apart from me, the security guard, and Dave. There was no one in the whole office. "Well, I could spend the night in here. I hope your manager won't mind me using the couch in his cabin for a night." I started to walk back into the office when he said,
"Don't be ridiculous. Other than the 2 cups of coffee and muffins I got, you've eaten nothing, and the office doesn't even have a vending machine, let alone a kitchen. What are you going to eat, and how are you going to sleep without a heater? Why don't you come home with me? When the rain stops, you can head back to London."
Some actual food and a warm bed did seem like a good option. Also, when I looked up, I knew the rain was here to stay. I took Dave's offer and got into my car, following him to his house. After what felt like the longest drive in my life, we arrived at the entrance of a gated community. Dave entered the code, and I followed him to a very cozy-looking house. The lights were on, so I thought probably someone would be home. The rain hadn't stopped, just increased. Dave unlocked the door, and as soon as I entered his house, the smell of freshly cooked food engulfed us. "Does your family live with you?"
"Oh no, I live alone. The food was cooked by my cook."
Dave worked a mediocre IT job. It was a wonder how he could afford a cook. But I pushed it to the back of my mind and entered his house. It was a well-decorated and modern place. He led me to a room and offered me a change of clothes. I freshened up and returned to the living room to find Dave serving some pasta on 2 plates.
"Hey, come join me."
The moment I stepped out of the room, I felt a bit dizzy, but I blamed it on the day I had. We started having dinner, and the pasta was really delicious, and the warm garlic bread went very well with it. Dave tried to offer me wine, but I refused. The more I ate, the more I felt the dizzy, lightheaded feeling. Finally, we called it a night, and I went into the guest room. I laid on the bed and fell asleep instantly to the noise of heavy rain falling against the window. When my eyes opened, something heavy pressed against my whole body. It was difficult to even move a muscle, let alone get up. I barely managed to keep my eyes open, and what I saw was a scene from any woman's worst nightmare. Dave was hovering over me, and his whole body was pressed on top of me. He was a heavy man, so no doubt I couldn't move. He was grinning at me, and he was taking my clothes off. Although I could not move, my brain kicked into action, and I knew what was going on. If I did not do anything, Dave would sexually assault me. He was grinning down at me, and he had already removed my top and was working at my pants. He was saying something I could not understand, but I knew he had drugged me. When I tried moving my body, only my arms moved a bit. While he was busy staring down at my half-naked body, I grabbed a glass vase kept on the nightstand and slammed it into his head, which was near my waist. Dave screamed and moved away from the bed, clutching his bleeding head. I somehow managed to gain some control of my body and covered myself with the clothes hanging off my body. I stumbled out of the bedroom and Dave followed me. My first instinct was to run to my car, but my body just did not allow that. Dave caught up to me and he slammed me into the nearest wall. One of his hands was still clutching his bleeding head and the other was grabbing my neck and choking me. I could not move my body properly and now I could not breathe either. I scratched his face and tried to hit him, but he was still so very strong. Finally, I somehow managed to move my back to bend down and bite his hand. Blood and flesh filled my mouth while he was screaming. I took the opportunity and ran into the kitchen and grabbed two knives. One was the big butcher knife and a small one. Dave stumbled to me. With each move, I was regaining control of my body more and more.
You bitch. All I wanted to do was spend a night with you. But you had to wake up at the wrong time and spoil everything.
His head was bleeding, and so was his arm. I ran for the door and tried to open it, but he beat me to it. He shut it as soon as I cracked it open an inch. Instead, he slammed me against the door, and my head hit the wood, making my eyes go white for a second. This time, instead of choking me, he punched my face and tore off my top, which I somehow managed to button up. I stumbled to my left a bit, but I still had the knives in my hand. He was about to hit me once again, but I stabbed the small knife in his wrist. Dave screamed once more and punched me again. This time, he managed to knock me off my feet and I fell on the floor. He proceeded to kick me three times in my stomach and once on my breast. I was wailing in pain, and the butcher knife had slipped out of my hand. Dave was bleeding profoundly, and the puddles of blood around the house were his. The rain was still pouring, but I knew I had to escape. I somehow stood up and saw Dave pulling out the small knife from his waist. With that knife, he charged towards me, but I opened the door and banged it into his face. I walked into the pouring rain towards the main gate of his property. Suddenly, my hair was pulled back and I fell to the ground. Dave stood above me, ready to stab me with the same knife. But he hadn't noticed the butcher knife I had picked up. Before he could attack me, I used that knife to chop off his fingers. The knife went through his shoes, and he screamed once more. I got up, picked up that knife, raised both my hands, and hacked it through his chest, killing him instantly. Water had gathered in his front yard, and Dave's body fell into it, making the whole yard look red. I finally stumbled out of his house and rang the neighbor's doorbell, who eventually helped me. I had killed a man on a rainy day. The case was open and shut, and as soon as it was over, I moved to Vietnam. Here I am, married to a wonderful man, and have 3 kids of my own. My life is pretty good. But whenever it rains, I still think about that night and Dave. That night is the little secret of my life no one knows here, and I intend to keep it that way. But what people don't know is that I got a hell out of money from Dave. How I got it is a story for another time.
Hi, my name is Raj, and for the past 2 years since the lockdown ended, I quit my corporate job and began solo traveling. You may not realize this, but being an Indian, I have a lot to explore in my own country itself. We have snow-clad mountains, beaches, deserts, rainforests, huge rivers, backwaters, and whatnot. Since I began traveling, I have been scouting each of the 29 states of India. I experienced many things, some joyous, some extremely scary and thrilling, but nothing came close to the incident when I almost lost my life. This happened in August of 2023. I was exploring the state of Meghalaya. It's one of the northern states of India, and is very rich in culture and natural beauty. I loved to explore offbeat places and travel on my own schedule. I have already spent a week in this state and was planning to spend another before returning to my hometown of Mumbai. I was also working remotely, so I always have my laptop with me. One evening, when I was sitting in a restaurant working on my laptop while having snacks, a waiter stopped by my table and started asking me about myself. It is pretty common in India for people to ask tourists about their trip, and I was very much a tourist, a Mumbai boy, touring through the interiors of Meghalaya. I had a brief chat with the waiter. While taking my plates back to the kitchen, he mentioned visiting the Nokelakai Falls. Sorry about my pronunciation. I struggled to pronounce words in other languages. I was intrigued, as I had no idea that there was a waterfall near the small town I was staying in. I asked the waiter more about it, and he told me that he would be willing to take me to the falls if tomorrow morning was okay. Turns out the waiter, named Kishore, was an auto rickshaw driver too. He drove an auto rickshaw in the morning and then awaited tables in the evening. We agreed, and he said he would pick me up in front of the same restaurant. The next day, I was waiting for Kishore at around 8 a.m. in front of the restaurant. He arrived in his auto rickshaw, and we soon began our journey. Kishore was a friendly, talkative guy. He also told me about some other spots nearby that I could explore that day. I was eager to see the waterfall, as Kishore claimed those were the tallest plunge waterfalls in India. As it was monsoon, the rain showers were frequent. Kishore parked his auto rickshaw at the foothill of the mountain and asked me to trek to the top of the waterfall. It was a short trek, despite being steep. I left my laptop with Kishore, and only with my camera and a small sack carrying water and some biscuits, I started the trek. Ideally, I was expected to get back in an hour and a half. I began climbing and enjoying the view as I gained height. Almost halfway through my trek, I saw a local woman climbing the trail. She must be a couple of years older than me. When I walked past her, she looked tired, and probably climbing the trek in a saree was even more difficult. Being the gentleman I am, I offered her some water from my bottle. She took my bottle, sipped some water, and thanked me in the local language. We both continued our climb in silence. She was comparatively slower than me, so I just waited at certain spots to make sure that she climbed safely. The trail had become a bit slippery due to continuous rainfall. Once we reached the top, I was mesmerized by the view. It was one of the best views I had ever seen. The waterfall itself was so beautiful. I forgot all about the woman and began clicking as many pictures as I could. It was raining lightly, but my camera and all its gear were waterproof. I must have spent a good 20 to 25 minutes clicking pictures when suddenly I noticed the lady walking to the edge of the waterfall. I knew it was dangerous and I instinctively ran from my spot towards the lady. But before I could reach her, she jumped off the cliff and fell with the waterfall. I was terrified. Imagine someone killing themselves in front of you and you being unable to help. I looked down and I felt immense disappointment and a core deep sadness at the moment. I had no clue what took over me. I felt depressed and lonely. Although solo traveling had always been exciting for me, this was the first time when I felt lonely and a total failure. I had an urge to jump after her and end my miserable existence. I stood, leaning against a boulder near the edge of the waterfall, and as I was about to jump and end everything, someone called my name loudly from behind me. Kishore was standing a few meters away from me. He was bent over with his hands on his knees. He was breathing heavily, and it looked like he had run up here. The moment he called my name, I felt as if I was pulled out of a trance. I blinked my eyes, looked around me, and stumbled back when I noticed how close to the edge I was. One step to my left, and I would have been one with the waterfall. Kishore ran up to me.
"What the hell are you doing, sir?"
He was straight up yelling at me. I was not in the state to answer him, as I had no idea how and why I had the sudden urge to kill myself. Kishore looked deep into my eyes and began collecting my sack and other equipment.
"We should get down, sir. It looks like we are going to have a downpour soon."
The sky was gray and cloudy. I just nodded and followed him like a puppy. Once we were back in his auto rickshaw and I was back to normal, he started talking once more.
"What happened up there, sir? Did you see something?"
By his course of questions, I had a feeling he probably knew something, but I decided to answer his questions anyway. I told him all about the woman and how she just jumped.
"Did you see a woman fall?"
Kishore chuckled.
"Sir, do you know what an urban legend is?"
I was shocked by his random question.
"Yes, I know what an urban legend is, Kishore. But what about it?"
"Well, there is an urban legend surrounding this waterfall too. Since I was a kid, my grandparents warned me never to climb the trek to the waterfall alone. Always take someone with you. When you begin the trek, I remembered the legend and my grandpa's warning. That's why I ran behind you, and good that I reached the peak when I did. Otherwise, you would have done the unthinkable." I nodded, and to that, I was thankful to Kishore. He had saved my life today. "But what is the urban legend?"
"A long time ago, there lived a widow in our village. Her name was Kai Lakai. Her husband died soon after she delivered their baby. The widow was a beautiful woman, so her parents encouraged her to remarry. She again married a man from the same village, but as she had an infant, she paid more attention to the child than her new husband. The new husband, who hated her child, was always irritated whenever she ignored him and attended to her baby. But one day, while she was working in the fields, her husband had enough of the child. He was jealous of the newborn baby and killed the baby boy in anger. But instead of disposing of the body, he chopped it up and cooked it, making a curry. When Carla Kai returned, she was delighted that her husband had cooked for once. When she asked about her baby, he informed her that the boy was with her mother. She eagerly dished out some rice and curry on her plate and began eating. Her husband was standing in the corner, smiling at her. But as she was eating, she found a little finger in her plate. Carla Kai screamed and confronted her husband. After knowing the truth, she was so heartbroken and angry that she ran up the mountain to the waterfall and threw herself off the cliff. Since that day, many people have seen a woman climbing the trek and then jumping off the cliff with the waterfall. And soon, they too have an urge to commit suicide. I never believed in the legend until you. Kishore told me the story, and I was shell-shocked. That same night, I packed my bag and left for Mumbai. After that encounter, I avoid traveling solo to offbeat places as much as I can.